Well, how many of you in love with Jesus this morning? Let me just ask that question. And let me say, if you're not, you can be. You can have that wonderful, loving relationship with Christ. You know, there's a reason that Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he said the Father's will was. He came to do the Father's will, to seek and to save the lost. So salvation is a pretty common message in the church. Would you give me an amen for that? It's what we preach, right? The message of salvation, the good news that Jesus came and died on the cross for our sins, made a way for us to be reconciled to our Heavenly Father. So I'm going to actually spend some time on this message of salvation this morning, which tends to be a basic message. And I'm going to share a scripture that I almost guarantee you that you know this scripture. You've probably heard it a few times. You probably have seen it in the news. You've seen it online. You've seen it in memes. You've heard people refer to it. You've seen it in sports. Can anybody tell me what that scripture might be? John 3:16. That's exactly right. That's the scripture. Very common, quoted a lot. But I'm going to use it today and break it down and show you three steps to salvation. Three steps that each and every one of us live out if we're going to have a relationship with Jesus. We have to live those steps out. And what I've found that sometimes you got to return back to the first step so that you can get back to the second step to move on to the third step. Say, Pastor, I want to hear the three steps. You know, and look, let me say this. It's not just meant to be a lifeless three steps to this, three steps to that. This is a living relationship, but there's three actions to take, three steps to take in that living relationship if we're going to have that with Christ. And John 3:16 really breaks it down so well. We're going to read that passage. John 3:16 says, "For God," can anybody, "so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life." Isn't that right? There's three things that you can see in that passage that stand out. And that is the first step is we see that there is salvation, but that salvation is divine. Salvation is divine. We got to take the step of recognizing salvation as being divine. It's not something that's just been, you know, brought up by man or concocted by man. No, it's something that God made happen by his divine nature and Godhead, if you will, being manifest in this earth through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, you think about the first thing you think about when you think about salvation is, well, it's the challenge of, you know, well, I was taught that if I do this and I'm a good person, then I'll go to heaven. Anybody used to think if I just do enough good, I can actually go to heaven? Anybody ever heard, well, if you do this and this and this, you can get to heaven? My three steps are not three steps of the work that you got to do. It's three steps of recognizing, acknowledging what it is that God's provided for you and taking the steps with regard to that. Not, let me work really hard and God will be okay with me. You can't work hard enough for God to be okay with you. Think about that. That's kind of insulting to us, isn't it? Wait a minute. God, you saying I can't work hard enough that you and I can be okay with one another? So if I help a little old widow across the street, that's not good enough for you, God? If I feed the poor, or, you know, I feed the hungry, is that not good enough for you, God? If I give a cup of cold water to somebody who's in need, is that not good enough? If I give, you know, all that I have to the poor, is that not good enough? Come on now. I'm touching on a lot of different scriptures. That if I just do these things, God, why would that be good enough with you? Because all have fallen short of the glory of God and sinned. And your works cannot make up for your sin. Only the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, only the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the atonement can make up for your sin. Only it can fill the gap, fill the void, pay the price. You can't do it. You got to have Jesus. You got to have that personal relationship. You have to be able to see that it is God's divine gift through his Son to us that makes us okay with him, that makes us right with him. Let's look at that breakdown there of John 3:16. So salvation is divine. Verse 16a, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." his only begotten Son. How was it that Jesus came into being? He was born of a virgin, is what we learn from the Bible. How is a child born of a virgin? Sounds pretty impossible to me. How about you? Come on. Anybody, you know, you hear that story, it's like born of a virgin. So let's see. Conceived of the Holy Spirit, but born of a virgin. It's like, wait a minute. See, as a kid, you don't know, right? It's like, yeah, you know, Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and Mary was a virgin. She gave birth. And, you know, like, oh, cool, man. You with me here? But then you get a little older, and you're like, wait, stop the press. You got to hold on a minute. What did you just say? Conceived of what? The Holy Spirit. How's that work? Right? It's divine. Right? Born of a virgin, how does that work? Divine. But our adult minds start going, that's impossible. Come on, you with me here? That can't happen. Exactly. Matter of fact, do you know, and I know, see, we're heading up to Christmas, so let me just go ahead and look. You see decorations out there, so it's nothing for me to do, you know, just a little precursor to heading into the Christmas sermon series, right? So you got to understand, Joseph hears that she's pregnant. Right? I'm pregnant. Joseph's like, wait a minute. Oh, snap. What's going on here? Because, you know, it's you and I, man. We're betrothed, right? It's just you and me. And there's only one way to get pregnant that I know of. Like, no, Joseph, you don't understand. The Holy Spirit did this. Uh-huh. Come on, men. Are you with me in here today? Your wife, like, the Holy Spirit did, honey. You know? Come on. We all know that we read that story and our natural mind is bent. It's like, what? How can that even be possible? Joseph was right there with us, right? But then it was an angel that appeared to him in a dream and says, Joseph, right? Don't fear. You know, take Mary as your wife, because what's conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Come on. And he, by faith, believed it. See, Mary said this when the angel appeared to her and said, you're going to be with child, right? Be it unto me according to your word. Joseph, right? The angel speaks to him, and all of a sudden he has faith to believe in the word that God spoke to Mary. Come on now. The witness, the testimony of Christ. Let me say this to you, the testimony of salvation. Salvation is come. That was the message of Christ coming into the world. Is that salvation has come to mankind. But it takes faith, and faith in what? Not faith in mankind, not faith in my ability, but faith in the divine nature of God, that where we fell short, God can make up for it and give us a way where there seems to be no way, that we can come boldly before his throne of grace. While we're sinners, we can come before God's throne of grace and obtain the mercy that we need so that we can walk and live like Christ. We can't do it ourselves. We need him working in our life. Can you say amen this morning? Look at what John 8:12 says. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Say, I am. Now, you got to understand, Jesus had some moments where he would have conversations with the Pharisees, or, you know, he's sharing the word, and the Pharisees and Sadducees normally, he had conversations with them, but he was normally doing ministry, and they see it, and they come, and they want to nitpick at it. Come on, somebody. Right? They want to criticize him. There's something wrong with him. All these people were following him because, you know, there's something off about Jesus. No, there was something off about them. There's something off about religious people, and there's something off about sinners, but there's nothing off about Jesus. And when you start getting close to Jesus, you start to actually come to that place of being on target, to be in the right place. You know, never in your life could you be in a better place than to be near Jesus in relationship. Because he'll make you right where you're not. You can think you're right, religious, and you're not. You can be wrong and think there's no way for you to be right, and I got to tell you, you're wrong. When you get close to Jesus, he'll make you right. Come on now. It's better than you're letting on. How many of you have been far away from Jesus before, and the closer you got, the more he started making you right? Not, oh, I'm right, but no, thank God that you've made me right. Thank God I could that I can have a relationship with you. Thank God that, you know, I can love others even when they're wrong. Even when they're wrong in religious and judging, or they're wrong and they're a sinner and living the way they shouldn't be living, that I don't have to take a stance to judge this one or judge that one. All I got to do is just be near Jesus and let my life shine in a way that invites them to want to be near Jesus. Come on now. Jesus was saying, I am the light of the world. Now you got to understand for the Pharisees and Sadducees why that was hard. I am the light of the world. Come on. I am. If somebody approached you and said, I am the light of the world, wouldn't you go? Wait a minute. You're another human being. I'm a human being. I just don't know how you're the light of the world. You got to understand, Jesus is come in human form, but there is divine nature in that human being that's going to live a life without sin to make a way for us to come out of sin, right? Out of darkness and what he's saying here into his marvelous light. He says, I am the light of the world. And the Pharisees are like, whoa, wait a second. We're Jewish people. The I am is God. And you don't look like God to me. You don't look like what I would shape God to be. You don't look the way that I figured the Messiah would show up, the deliverer, the Savior. You just don't look like the one who I saw salvation coming through. So I'm not cool with this. I don't see you as being the I am, but nevertheless, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Come on. You know what? You know where one of the first places you see I am appear is? How many of you like the story of Moses in the burning bush? You ever heard of that story, Moses in the burning bush? He's out in the wilderness and he's walking along and he looks over and he goes, what is that? There's a bush that's burning, but it's not being consumed. It's got light, it's got fire. Hey, how many know our God is an all-consuming fire? He's an all-consuming fire, but the fire's not consuming that bush. So what is going down right now? Moses is taken in by that miracle, and he starts to approach, right? God calls him, right? He starts to approach, and God says, take your shoes off because the ground you're on is holy. Moses kicks those shoes off, man. He kicks them sandals right off. Continues to kind of draw near, like, man, how does this happen? And the voice of God speaking out of that light. Come on. He gives him the breakdown. I want you to go, and look, this is way paraphrased because I don't have the time this morning to go into the whole story of the Exodus. Are you with me? Are you with me this morning? All right, I can't do all of that this morning, all right? Go read it. But here's what happens. God gives him his instructions to go and deliver the children of Israel from Pharaoh out of the land of Egypt. Just like he sent Christ, it's the divine spirit of God manifest in that bush. The light of the world is manifest right there, saying to Moses, go and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Jesus came into this earth. That divine, the Bible talks about the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. The fullness of God, all the fullness of God dwelt in Jesus Christ. And here he is sent to the world to do what? To deliver us from sin, to deliver us from, look, our Pharaoh is Satan. He wants to keep us in bondage. Sin, our sin, or if you will, the place of sin, the world, is our Egypt. Jesus is our deliverer. Moses was sent to them to be a ruler and a deliverer. Jesus is our Savior and our Lord. He's our ruler and he's our deliverer. But you got to understand in that moment, Moses is like, what am I going to say to Pharaoh? Tell him the I am sent you. Tell him that I am sent you. Fast forward in this moment, and Jesus, Pharisees, Sadducees all around, I am the light of the world. They're like, whoa, only God's the I am. Uh-huh. Come on now. Uh-huh. Say uh-huh. You get that uh-huh or aha. You know, there's got to be an aha moment for you that recognizes Jesus is God in flesh. The divine has come to save you. The first step of salvation is recognizing that he is divine. Amen. So John Wesley said this. He believed that the scripture shows us the way to heaven, how to land safe on that happy shore, if you will. Here then I am, far from the busy ways of men. I sit down alone. Only God is here. In his presence I hope, I open, I read his book for this end, to find the way to heaven. John Wesley knew something about reflecting on God's word, that it's a moment to sit down with God, to have a conversation, to let him talk to you, to ask questions back to him, and invite the Holy Spirit to come and inspire you of who he is. Because look, here's the thing. Read the Bible, you're going to find out how far short you fall. The Bible says that the law is the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. The law, it ushers us by recognizing that we can't get there alone and that we need Jesus. See, the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. The letter, see, there might be those moments where you're like, man, gosh, I can't do all of this, right? But Jesus in you can lead you by his Spirit into a life that reflects God's glory in all that he is, and we'll see some more about that in a moment. I want to put it this way with what I just read. If you put it another way, God speaks to us through the Bible and leads us into salvation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So God speaks to us through his Word and leads us into salvation. God loves us and wishes us to return that love. When we do, we enter more fully into the divine life. The Bible is a book of meeting. I can't remember who said that, but a long time ago I read it somewhere. The Bible is a book of meeting. When you open your Bible, you meet God there. And anytime you decide to meet with God, hey, he's going to show up in the meeting. Come on. He's not just going to show up in the letter of it, the Logos. He's going to show up in the Rhema. He's going to show up by his Spirit and inspire his word to your heart. The Bible's a book of meeting. It draws us ever more deeply into a relationship with God who came to us in Jesus Christ, his Son. Our posture towards the Bible should always be one of gratitude, not one of criticism. We may not understand something, but we need to be like Job in those moments and know that when we start to question God, it's a time to place our hand over our mouth and ask a question of God. See, questioning somebody is very different from asking a question of them. Yeah, well, I question whether or not that's true. I question you, God. I question this. I don't know that that could be true. And in our day and age, come on, of relativism. Well, this is your truth, but this is my truth. That's relative to you, but this is relative to me. Postmodernism, coming in with all kinds of ideas, and there's more than one way to God. There's more than one religion that leads to God. And I got to tell you right now that all the rest is deception. Because Jesus is the truth. He's the way, and he's the life. I am the light of the world, he said. And the sooner we embrace that fact, the sooner we get to the place of being able to receive the revelation from God's word that we need to come near to God in relationship. So take a step, and recognize God's divine plan through Jesus Christ. Your first step is to recognize God's divine plan through Jesus Christ. The second one, salvation takes a decision. Salvation takes a decision. Back to John 3:16, verse 16b. Verse 16a, we're dissecting it. In verse 16b, that whoever believes in him. And whoever believes in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his divine Son, that whoever believes in him. This is your point of decision. Salvation takes a decision. God gave you free will. It's up to you to make a decision to follow Christ. Listen to Romans 10:8-13. In fact, it says, this is referring to the word, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart. On your lips and in your heart. And that message is the very message about faith that we preach. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. As the scriptures tells us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Jews and Gentile are the same in this respect. They have the same Lord who gives generously to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is not something to just some, you know, and not others. This is something that God, remember, God so loved the world. It doesn't say that God so loved part of the world. God so loved some of the people in the world. No, God so loved the world. That's all encompassing, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That's his divine plan, his divine desire for mankind is I make a way through the manifestation of my divine nature in my son to overcome sin and to give mankind an invitation to come to me. So therefore it becomes your decision when you acknowledge the divine nature of Jesus and you recognize his sacrifice is what provides salvation. Then all of a sudden, man, I got to make a decision. I believe that. Am I going to follow him? I get to make the decision. So take a step. Take a step, make a decision to openly declare and believe in Jesus Christ. Now, you know, many of you, maybe you've done that before in your life. I've told you stories about myself when I was young that I was in the Church of Christ. That if I got baptized in water, I'd be saved. But I knew nothing about the fact that it took an actual, you know, that I don't just say I believe that Jesus died for me. You know, I get baptized in water, but I'm not going to actually follow him and what he says. Come on now. You know, the Bible says that when you're baptized in water, it's so you come up out of the water. It's a watery grave that you lay that old fleshly carnal man down and you come up and walk in a new and living way by the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, amen? And so in that, salvation is your decision, but salvation isn't just the decision that Jesus died on the cross for me, so I'm going to follow him. I love him and I receive him, and then what happens is I don't actually follow him. If you love me, you will obey my, can you finish it? You obey my commands if you love me, right? So watch this. He's the I am. He came to deliver us, and he calls us to walk the way that he goes. That's what brings glory back to him, right? And so what happens for us is if I follow him in water baptism, which, by the way, Pastor Warner is going to bring a wonderful message on baptism next week. On the 25th, we're doing a baptism. We're also going to be doing one in November. So if you can't make the one on the 25th, you know, we're going to have another one in November. But I will tell you this, that the taking that step of baptism is an outward profession of faith. The Bible says that. That when we're baptized in water, it's an outward profession of our faith in Jesus Christ. And again, it's to walk in a new and living way. But that's our decision to do that. Now, you make a decision to follow Christ. You come to salvation. You're saved. But say this with me. I'm saved. I'm being saved. And I will be saved. Say it again. I'm saved. I'm being saved. And I will be saved. When you come to Christ, you're saved, man. You're going to heaven. But are you living like heaven now? Come on. Right? I'm saved. I know that it's his work is what has given me access to relationship and eternal life. But am I living in that eternal calling in life now, right? Or am I like, well, one day when I'm not in this body anymore and I receive my glorified body and I'm in heaven, then I'll live everlasting life. Jesus called you to live an everlasting life right now. It's like, well, how's that possible? Well, if you're saved, you're never going to die. Come on. Y'all staring at me with unbelief. Like, what? I'm going to die. I'm pretty sure I'm going to die. No, you're not. The Bible tells us that when we die as a believer in Christ, death is swallowed up by life. That this body might be laid down, but the reality is you're passing into greater life, not passing from life to death, but you're passing with the death of this body, you pass into a greater life than you've ever known. But God has called you to live that now, to understand that now. And to live for him now, that's where you experience his blessings. Amen. So what does that mean? That means it puts us in the place of step three, to recognize that salvation is your destiny. That, oh man, it's divine. It came through the divinity of Christ. It came through the divine nature in Godhead dwelling in that man bodily to put sin and to put death under in his mortal body, buried in that grave to take the keys of hell and death from Satan, to resurrect from the dead and to ascend on high, right, and lead captivity captive and give gifts to men, some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, Ephesians 4, for the equipping of the saints, right? For the kartismos. Say kartismos. Oh gosh, you got to be with me on this. Kartismos. For the building up, the mending, the repairing of the saint, that we get built up, we grow, we get to live this everlasting life right now and be, right? Not just say, but being saved. That we're being saved and different parts of our life are being redeemed. We're being set free, right? You think about the temptations that you face. Jesus faced every one of them. Guess what? He did it without sin. So therefore, no matter what you're facing in temptation, Christ can set you free. Why? Because he has the power over that temptation. He put it to an open shame. It didn't put him to an open shame. Come on now, right? Those things can put you to an open shame, but let me say this. Christ put them to an open shame so that you can be set free and live with dignity. Come on. Live with dignity in Christ. That's your destiny. It is your destiny in salvation. Verse 16 shows that. Watch. That you should not perish, but have everlasting life. You don't have to live a life that's perishing. You can live a life that's everlasting, that's fulfilling, that's full of joy. Come on. Anybody know what the fruit of the Spirit is? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, temperance, meekness, right? Joy. Did I say joy already? I think I did. Self-control. Self-control. That you actually, God will give you the power to have control of yourself. Let's do it this way. Say flesh. Now say self. My flesh is myself. Let's do it this way. Say self-ish. When I'm selfish, I give over myself to the flesh. Don't be selfish. Be selfless. Come on now. It's better than y'all letting on. Is it too serious of a subject? I'd like you to enjoy it. I don't want you to feel beat up. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to know that salvation is your destiny. Christ didn't die on the cross for you to beg for it. Oh man, gonna make me cry. Christ did not die on the cross for any one of us to beg for salvation. He died on the cross so that we could simply receive the gift of salvation. Grace. Grace is such a beautiful thing. I heard a preacher one time define it this way. Again, going back to we come boldly before his throne of grace that we might obtain mercy. Here's the thing. Mercy is what we need. In a sense, did any of you, were you in the Garden of Eden? I want to ask, was anybody here in the Garden of Eden? Did you get to choose back then? The Bible says that what the first Adam, he subjected all mankind to futility. He subjected every one of us to a life of sin. We didn't choose that, but we were born into that nature through Adam, the first Adam. That he got the choice. We didn't. We were born sinners. Anybody got a 2-year-old? 3-year-old? Are you ever shocked at how fast they start to learn to lie? You're like, what the world, man? Why would they lie to me? It's just in their nature, right? Why? Because normally if they do something they shouldn't, and you say, well, did you do that? They feel a sense of shame, the same as Adam did when he sinned. And what happened was, he's fig leaf. Where's the fig leaves? Right? He slaps a little fig leaf on him like, here we go. My nakedness is covered. No, I didn't cover the nakedness that he had. See, they were clothed in God's glory. That's why I didn't even recognize their nakedness. The fig leaf wasn't going to cover what Adam had revealed. Come on now. And it doesn't cover for us. It's the same watching kids. They're just born into it and they just naturally do it. And you naturally do it. Say it again. Flesh, self-ish. Adam was selfish in that moment. You know why I know he was selfish? Because he took every one of our choices away. Jesus was selfless. He died on a cross to give you choice back. Salvation is divine. It's your decision. But God has set up a destiny for you. If you will recognize that mercy that is there, you deserve the mercy. It's like, well, wait a minute. I don't deserve anything from God. Oh, no. You deserve the mercy. You didn't set yourself up for a life of sin. You just kind of were born into it and started serving yourself. Come on. Just like Adam and Eve did. And what happens? Jesus comes and he gives you choice back. Adam took your choice away. Jesus, the second Adam, the Bible says, he restored your choice. Because when he died on the cross, he says, I set before you life and death. Choose life. Everlasting life. That's what he provided. And again, as I say in verse 16c, should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the reason God gave his son. And if you'll believe, if you'll choose to do that, make that decision, you can have that everlasting life working. Listen to Romans 8, 29 through 30. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to be like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. There's that come, right? Boldly before the throne of grace. God gives you what you need to get what you deserve. You didn't set yourself up for sin. You might struggle with it from time to time. But the reality is this, God set you up to get what you deserve for what you were subjected to, the futility you were subjected to. But he's got to provide for you what you can't get, and that's grace, unmerited favor. You can't work hard enough to get salvation. You got to recognize it's a divine gift from God. Choose to accept that so you can move in the destiny that God has called you in your salvation. Moving on, son, who is the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, and having chosen them, he chose you. He called them to come to him, and having called them, he gave them the right standing with himself. He gave them right standing. You didn't earn it. He gave it to you. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. There's that light that we're talking about in the beginning of it. I am the light of the world. Glory is light. The light of God. He calls you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. And when you receive salvation, you choose to follow Christ. He begins to transform you and change you into the likeness of his own son, Jesus Christ. And you become a son and a daughter of the Most High God to be like your father, the way that Jesus is like your father. You're not Jesus, you're not divine, but you got divinity living on the inside of you. If you have received Christ and you have the Spirit, listen, if you have the Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit divine? Come on, he's divine. He comes, and this is what it says, Jesus prayed to the Father. He said, I won't leave you orphans. I'll pray to the Father that he'll send the promised Holy Spirit. And then we, say we. Jesus is referring to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We will come and make our abode, our dwelling place, our home in you. Every individual, God wants to have that kind of relationship with you where it's so real, so personal. You don't have to take a long journey. Let me say, we come here, we get to join with one another and learn and grow and worship. But I'm telling you, for you to spend time with God, you don't have to go very far. All you got to do is go right here. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've been filled by his Spirit, all you got to do is just go right here. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, go into your closet. This is your closet. Right? Your tent. They used to go to the tent of meeting, the tent, the tabernacle of meeting, the tent of meeting. This is your, look, tabernacle, tent, you know those tents, you know what they're made of? Skin. Animal skin. Right? We're not animals, but let me say this. Your heart dwells in here. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and your skin houses, you are the temple. It houses the presence of God. And all you got to do is, Father, start to pray from the heart. Start to call on God from your heart. And let me say this. Anytime that you draw near to him, the Bible says that he'll draw near to you. Never think that, well, when I draw near to God, he's afar off. He's probably not going to come near to me. No, you draw near to God, he's going to draw near to you. As a matter of fact, the scriptures tell us this. God is not afar off, but he's nigh or near unto you. He's your ever-present help in time of need. So take the step to walk in your God-given destiny. Take the step to walk in your God-given destiny of everlasting life, right standing, and glory. God chose you, so choose him and fulfill your destiny. Amen. Listen, as I close today, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. I want you to just lift your hands to heaven this morning. Lift your hands high to heaven. Look, We all have many different challenges. Some might have the same, and others just completely different from those that are in this room, those watching online. Maybe it's challenges in your marriage. Maybe it's challenges in your career, your finances, your family. Maybe it's challenges in your faith. Maybe it's challenges with the fruit of the Spirit, the forgiveness, the joy, the kindness, the gentleness, meekness, self-control. Maybe it's honoring others, right? So when you get down to it, think about it this way. The challenges you face, or there's three ways the devil's going to beat you up, attack you, try to tear your life down, and that's going to be in your relationships, it's going to be in your finances, your resources in life, and it's going to be in your health. Those are, you go and look, the miracles that Jesus did, all of the miracles Jesus did will fall in those categories. Of somehow it's connected to relationship, it's connected to the overcoming of anything that would impede your progress in life, and also health. How many healings did Jesus perform? Think about that. God wants to do those kind of works in your life as well. He wants to perform miracles in your relationships, perform miracles in your finance, your career. So I don't know what your challenge is today, but I do know this. I know that Jesus wants to meet you where you are. He wants you to experience not only a relationship with Him, salvation, but He wants you to experience that being saved, that He comes and delivers and works on your behalf in your life, so that on your journey to the final destination of heaven and everlasting life, you get to enjoy the journey. Make no mistake about it. He doesn't want you in misery on the journey. You might face problems, you might face challenges, but He doesn't want you miserable. The fruit of the Spirit completely contradicts that thought. So to live our salvation this morning, lift your hands high to heaven. Whatever area you're facing this morning, I want you to close your eyes, bow your heads. I want you to begin to lift that to God. In your heart, what's the miracle that you need? How do you need God? And I'm asking that you'll stretch your faith out right now and know this, that you believe in your heart. And there's a confession of your mouth, right, that Jesus is going to meet you and save you in your situation. So Heavenly Father, right now I lift your people to you. God, I ask you to show yourself strong to them. God, I pray for miracles to break out in their life. I pray for breakthroughs. I pray for peace, God. I pray for life, God, in its fullest way. That's what salvation is all about, is everlasting life, that they would experience, God, the kind of life that heaven brought through Jesus Christ. And they would experience that in those areas. Father, I pray that fear would not hold them in these situations, but God, faith would rise in their heart to believe that you are doing a miracle in their life. You're going to meet them right where they need you to meet them. And Father, I pray they'd sit down, they'd meet with you in your word and in prayer and call upon you, Lord, to speak to them. Because your word declares that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father. Give your people a proceeding word, a word for their life that reveals Jesus Christ as their Savior, oh, so much more than they've ever known up till today. God, I pray that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.